I am Plata on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Meg Rowe joins me now in the theatrical community in this city. She's one of its most honored actresses and directors. She's on the line this morning to talk about a new production she's directing at the Arts Club Theatre's Granville Island stage. It's a staging of Terrence McNally's Masterclass. In the play, Gina Shirelli plays the great operatic star Maria Callas at the height of faded glamour. In the 1970s, Callas, already suffering from vocal problems, conducts master classes at Juilliard for young opera singers. The play is based on those classes where Callas often goes off on tangents about life rather than offering lessons in singing and opera. We'll get Ms. Rowe to tell us about the play and perhaps what we glean from Callas, from the Callas we see on stage. Master classes and previews now and opens Wednesday, the 3rd of October, 2012. Artsclub.com is the website for information and tickets. Meg Rowe is a prodigious and prolific presence in Vancouver theater. Her work as an actor, director, and sound designer has won her many awards. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Meg Rowe. Ms. Rowe, good morning.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
Now, you've acted many times at the Arts Club, but this is your first directorial project for them. I'm curious, how did you come about this? Did Bill say, do you want to direct this?
And yeah, I was so lucky. Bill, he tells the story that I was walking by his window, and he looked out and thought, that's who should do this show. So now I say I'll be walking by that window, you know, every 2 weeks or something, see what I can drum up. Yeah, he invited me to work on the show. He gave me the script. I gave it a read, and it's a really interesting and in some ways really challenging script, and I found it really intriguing. I don't know a lot about opera, so mostly I think I was drawn to the idea of getting to sort of put my toes in that pond a little bit. And I didn't know anything about Callas, so it was sort of a fun new topic, and I thought it would be nice, a really nice project to work on, so I said yes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the show because I was 15, I think, at the time, and it came to town.
Oh, yeah.
With
Faye Dunaway.
Faye Dunaway, yeah. And it's not a play that it has some opera in it, but you know it's not opera per se. It's really a drama, right? And it's funny
a drama. There are three. So the play sort of follows Cal. She gave classes, as you said, at the Juilliard School of Music in the early 70s. She saw, I don't know, 25 or so different students over the course of a few months, and we follow three students, three lessons. And they do sing, and they're incredible. We've been so lucky. We found some amazing professional local opera singers who have great acting chops and who sing their little socks off every night. And so we follow, Cal sort of guides us through those classes and then also finds herself reliving and remembering her life before.
Yeah, and for people that don't know, I guess this was, as you said, in the early 70s, she had this romance with Onassis.
Yeah.
They were to get married, but he leaves her for Jacqueline Kennedy.
Yeah.
And her voice is also not what it once was, right?
No, when she gave the classes, she hadn't sung publicly in a few years, and she had pretty significant vocal fatigue and some damage to her voice that she never really fully came back from. And so when she gave the classes, she wasn't singing professionally at the time. But actually, when she got together with Onassis, she pretty significantly cut back on her performing. And there's lots of all kinds of salacious writing about that, whose choice that was and why she did it. And yeah, it's really interesting, actually. Her life was totally centered around singing and around opera and around art. And when she met Onassis, that really seemed to shift. And some people think that was him, and some people think that was her, and we'll never really know. Yeah. Probably somewhere in between.
Yeah, and that gets played out in the course of this show, right?
Yeah, we get to see, she sort of, the music really inspires her, and we see her relive her memories, basically, of her life when she was singing at the beginning of her career, at the middle of her career, with Onassis, with her first husband, Menaghini, and basically we just sort of float through her memories, basically.
Yeah, it's also quite funny, right?
Well, it is funny, and it's funny because I think, and what Gina Shirelli, the unbelievable Gina Shirelli, manages to pull off, is Callas is notorious and much written about, mm-hmm. balance between a total lack of humor and an amazing sort of grace to her personality. And so it's funny because she's intense.
Yeah, well, we also see her play out the word diva, literally. The word has sort of been appropriated in our culture in a different way. You know, it used to mean female opera singer, star of the show. Now it's sort of someone who's difficult, tempestuous, and that's all of Callas.
Yeah, I think, so we were talking about this the other day, that diva is such an interesting word, and it has such a negative connotation. But in some ways, what it really means is knowing what you want and demanding it. And it's, because it's often applied to women, it's sort of an interesting color that yeah. There are not a lot of divos out there, right? And I don't know that it wasn't as common for, and isn't as common for male opera singers to be as demanding as female opera singers. So Callas was definitely a force to be reckoned with, and had an opinion on the world that she was unapologetic for. And she had her faults, absolutely, but she was also a kind of genius, and she broke ground in the opera world that young singers today are still walking on in terms of acting style and the ability to stretch your voice and push yourself, and what was expected by audiences from performers, and what was expected from performers and directors. And yeah, it's really, really interesting. I've been so happy to kind of dabble around in there. I still really honestly know nothing about opera,
yeah.
But it's such an interesting medium and so rich in its history and huge in its breadth. It's been, yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, and Gina Shirelli, who plays Callas in this production, did you cast her yourself?
I did, yeah.
How does it work? Does a line of actresses come in that want to play this part? Or?
Well, when you do a show like Masterclass, I mean, we're so lucky in Vancouver to have so many incredible actresses,
mm-hmm.
and so some people contacted me, and I contacted some people, and Gina was one of them, and she was hot on my list right at the top. She's such an incredible, dynamic, charismatic performer, and she's just got this amazing balance of generosity and strength in her that makes her so accessible on stage and so believable as someone like Callas, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And is this a role, because you're still an actress, mm-hmm. you do direct, is this a role that you'd like to play someday?
Oh, how interesting. Well, it's a pretty fun role. I don't think I'm tall enough to play this role. I don't think anyone would ever hire me to play this role.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even 5 feet, so
yeah.
I'd have to, like, wear really tall heels, and they'd have to hire really short singers. The best thing about, I mean, I love acting, and I've had such a great career as an actress, and now as a young learning director, and great opportunities at that, too, and I work as a sound designer and a composer, which is, I just feel so lucky to have so many outlets
right.
for storytelling and creative thinking. And so, I don't know, I mean, sure, who wouldn't, I mean, it's just such fun to get into those big, meaty parts.
Yeah.
But I'm really actually quite satisfied and happy to watch and guide Gina, who is just, I mean, it's like taking a master class watching her every day. And so it's just as satisfying in a way.
For you, was getting into directing, was that a natural extension of the acting? Like, is it the next step, say?
I don't know. I never thought of myself as a director. I never saw myself as a director. And it was Christopher Gaze at Bard on the Beach who invited me to direct at the festival about 4 years ago. And I said, I think that's crazy, and you should rethink that. Thank you, but no. And then he said, no, really, you should. I would really like you to. And he sort of asked me to just draw up a treatment on The Tempest, and as an experiment to see what I would do if I, you know, just to explore it for myself. So I drew up the treatment, and I sent it to him, and he said, great, do you want the job?
Yeah.
And I said, no, really, you're crazy. And then I sort of thought about it some more, and he and I had lots of great talks, and my partner, Alessandro, and I had lots of great talks, and just decided it was an opportunity that couldn't be missed. Like, if I didn't like it, and I was terrible at it, and nobody liked me doing it, I never had to do it again. So I took the risk, and I found it really rewarding and such a, it's been a great extension of my career. I don't know if I think it's a natural extension of everybody's career, but it's been really rewarding for me.
Do you think you're a better director because you have had experience as an actor?
Geez, I don't know, because I've worked with some of the best directors I've worked with are not actors, and we're never actors. But I think a benefit to being an actor is you understand the process that an actor goes through and have a sympathy, an empathy for what it's like to try to work out the kinks of a character over the course of a rehearsal process and a tech and getting up to opening. So that I see as a really big asset for me. And also because I've worked as a designer, I feel like I have a similar empathy for designers and that process and how difficult it can be and how condensed the amount of time is that you have to really explore, and you have to make some decisions really quickly. You know, actors have 3 weeks of rehearsal, maybe more before they open, where they're trying and failing and succeeding and failing again and going back and, you know, reimagining, and they have a lot of grace. I mean, it feels very short often to us as actors, but a designer has, you know, some weeks of just sort of imagining and then, you know, 3 or 4 days to succeed or fail. And that can be extremely stressful. And, you know, I mean, we're in tech right now. We're just starting our previews and leading up to opening, and some of my poor designers are up till, you know, 4 and 5 in the morning working on stuff to bring in for the next day. So,
see, I have no experience in the theater other than watching it.
Right.
I've never worked in it. I've never acted, or et cetera. So some of these questions may seem silly, but we look at the actor and the director as jobs, say.
Yeah.
So simply as that. Do you think that having done some directing now, that your acting has improved?
I think it has. I think I can say that my acting has improved.
And what do you think that, what does that come from? An appreciation, say, for the role of the director and what they do?
Definitely. And the role of the technicians and other artists around the actor that support the actor, and how intelligent and exciting their input can be to your work. I think often actors can find themselves sort of isolated either by themselves or by their colleagues. In their creative process, and I found it really rewarding as an actor to have a better sense of the people around me and how they can influence the choices I make and how much more exciting that can be, how much more collaborative it can feel. So I think that's made me a better actor, and in some ways it's made me a more conscious actor, which can be a plus and a minus. I find it harder as an actor now to just ignore what's going around me and be sort of naive and open and childlike, which is a huge part of the actor's job, I think, to play, right, and to be brave and to allow yourself to be vulnerable. So in some ways, it makes me more aware of, you know, how the audience is receiving something or how the story is being told. And that can be a plus, that can be a minus. But personally, I think it's made me a better performer.
So once the show opens, it'll open Wednesday night. Does that mean your part in all this is finished? I mean, you don't go every night and watch or do any of that, right?
No, it's so crazy.
Yeah,
theater's one of the only mediums where that happens. But really, the director is sort of persona non grata. Not really, but we're not. The director is meant to leave the show on the opening night, and the stage manager then maintains the show for the rest of the run. And lucky for me, we have just the most amazing stage management team in Louis Bournevel and April Starland, who will, I have no, you know, doubts or concerns at all about leaving a show with them, and the actors too. So it's part of my job to make sure that what I leave them with is clear enough and strong enough that they can feel supported for the rest of the run. Part of my role is to make sure that everyone knows where we're headed. Like, a show has to grow and change over the course of so many performances. It just does. It can't not. But hopefully you've created a world, a creative space, where all those artists can grow in the same direction, and it's in the direction that you were working towards, and that they feel contained within those kind of parameters. It's like, that's a crazy thing. And in lots of other mediums, that doesn't happen, right? Like in the dance world, the choreographer might be there every night for years.
Yeah.
For years, shaping and changing and altering and adjusting and giving little notes. But in Canada, in theater, we don't do that.
So how does it work for you then? Because it doesn't end for the actors. The audience comes in night after night.
Yeah.
The audience will have their thoughts.
Yeah.
The reviewers will as well. How do you react to that as the director?
Well, I don't read reviews. I don't tend to read my reviews. Sometimes I'll read them years later if I'm feeling confident. But I'm too thin-skinned and too big-headed to read what people will write about me. My ego is big enough if it's nice, and I'm way too sensitive if it's not. So I don't tend to read reviewers. I love to hear what audiences think. I really love in previews, because I'm in the audience with regular theatergoers, often if someone recognizes me as the director or they ask me why I've got a flashlight, and I tell them the director, I really love that people will be really honest with you about liking it or not liking it or not understanding. And I'm from north of Calgary, Acres north of Calgary, you know, people who never went to the theater, who, you know, no artists in my family but me. And I always think, like, the work I make should be for those people. I want it to appeal to those people, and not in a patronizing sense, but in a challenging and communicative sense, where, you know, is my grandma going to have a good time at this show? And sometimes my grandma is going to turn to me and say, "How come you did that?"
Yeah.
And not get it, but that's totally fine by me. And sometimes we shouldn't get everything, but was it beautiful? Did it strike you? Was it brave? Did you follow the story? Was there one moment where you were moved? If that's the truth, then I think it's a successful show. And that doesn't mean that the whole thing is perfect or even that everybody loves it. But. So I like that part. And that's something you don't get as much as an actor. As an actor, people will tell you if they liked it. As a director, people will tell you if they didn't. And in some ways, that's really satisfying to hear. Why? You know, why?
Yeah. What I found curious about what you've just said in the last couple of minutes or so, you talk about being thin-skinned and worried. I mean, I read off the top just how you're regarded in this city. Even now, it's still like that. I mean, even though you win all these awards, you get good notices. That's still with you as a performer?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Because I think part of being working in a creative medium is making yourself vulnerable to strangers and exposing yourself, being brave enough to expose yourself, even if it's just your ideas or your opinions on something, in a really open forum where people will react and speak back to you and write about you and talk about you and stop you and argue with you about what you've done. And so I think for me, if I wasn't sensitive, I might not be as good at what I do, because I think it's that sensitivity that hopefully propels you to find the detail and sensitivity in the people's lives and stories that you're trying to tell, right?
Mm-hmm.
That empathy. So it makes sense to me that artists and performers and have insecurities, because it's sort of a part of the personality that maybe comes with the job, is that vulnerability and access to that vulnerability. And at the same time, if it can take over your creative process and it can start to alter, you know, your ability to be brave. So it's this weird balance of ego and vulnerability that just is required, I think, to be someone who wants to jump up in front of a bunch of people and do a funny dance, you know?
Yeah. And after Wednesday, so you'll move on to the next thing. This city for you, it's pretty good in that you can remain employed as often as you like. Is that right?
Yes, I'm very lucky, actually, because I moved to the city almost 10 years ago to do a show, and I travel and work a lot in other cities in the country. I spend a lot of my season away from Vancouver, actually, which is really, I find, really rewarding and quite lucky, fortunate for me. So So I've had a pretty great time bopping around, doing shows here, doing shows there, and I'll actually go to Calgary. After this show opens, I'll go to Calgary and direct another show, a murder mystery. Uh-huh. And then I'm having a baby in January, so then we'll really find out how much work I get.
Yeah, it's been such a great pleasure talking today. I've been a great admirer of your work.
Oh, thank you.
Break a leg, as I say.
Thanks.
Artsclub.com, that's the website for tickets and information. Their production of Masterclass, which is in previews now, opens Wednesday night, the 3rd of October, at the Arts Club's Granville Island stage. It's director Meg Rowe on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Lanta.